What were the casualties like in the unit during those 15 days?
Very heavy. I think the figure was around about 300. I think it was 300, I believe. I think something like 25% were stretcher cases, and the remainder were walking wounded.
Were there some casualties that you just weren't able to reach?
Yes. Some close to the tennis courts and the DC's front row were just left when they made the initial onslaught. One who was left there was a Lance Corporal John Harmon, who was awarded a VC, a very good friend of mine. His father was the end Dundee Harmon, and I'd already had an invitation to go and visit them. But unfortunately, that would never take up.
Can you tell me a little bit more about him?
John Harmon was, put it bluntly, a blood and thunder boy. He would go before he gave it too much thought. He would go straight in, head first, without giving it a bit of thought first. What he'd done at Cowie Wood was very heroic. I'll tell you, I've never heard of anybody doing anything like it before, nor since. He was a very big chap. At the time, he was only about 6 foot tall and probably 15, 16 stone. It was very heavy. But I didn't, thank goodness, have the job of recovering his body.
Where had you first met him?
I first met him when he joined the battalion, and I was in his company at the time. Or attached to his company. I can't think where he joined us from. But he certainly wasn't one of the original battalion who came out from England.
Because I've heard people mention that he was a bit of a loner.
Never found him as a loner. He was always very sociable, as far as I was concerned. What he's like to the others, I don't know, but I can only speak from personal experience.
Were you surprised when he won the Victoria Cross?
Not really. Actually, I thought others should have got it as well, but he was an outstanding character.
Because I've always assumed, obviously, with his background, he would have been an officer. Did he come across like that to you at all?
No. I don't think he had the temperament for an officer. As I say, he was blood and thunder, head first, and that is not the, in my opinion, that is not the makings of an officer.
Were you aware of his actions at the time, or did you hear about them afterwards?
I knew what he had done, but I didn't know anything about the VC until later. I think I can't remember when it was, before we came home or after we came home.
So, you were in the regimental dressing station, and you said you were evacuated.
Yes.
How did that come about?
The evacuation We were escorted by, I think it was somebody, one of the battalions who relieved us, who walked through the blockade surrounding us, who walked through that, and we were then evacuated at night. It was somebody, I think, where Tim did, who relieved us. I know that Tim did who relieved us, but I can't remember who it was. It was some Yorkshire resident, I believe. And they escorted us with Indian Army medical people manning the ambulances and attending all wounded as they were walking through.
Did you help anybody during the evacuation?
No, I was just evacuating myself and that was it.
How about your wound? Because you've been, I think you said 6 days in the regimental aid post. Was there a problem?
No problem. I kept an eye on myself, changing the dressing myself as and when I could, if dressings were available. If not, it turned it over.
And you were evacuated. Were you evacuated from the regimental aid post down to the road?
No. Not directly. We were evacuated from midway up the hill from the dressing station down through a dry jog. It seemed a long way, but it always does at night, so how far it was, I can't remember, but we then brought to a convoy of ambulances standing somewhere on the hard sanding road.
At the time, were you still surrounded by the Japanese?
Not exactly, because they had been pushed aside by the relieving division, and that's why we were able to get through.
Were you still under shell fire, though?
Yes.
So you evacuated in the ambulances.
That's right.
Where did they evacuate you to?
We evacuated back to, I think it was Singapore. From there, some were taken back to India. The main, more serious ones were taken back to India. The walking wounded were virtually dressed and kept on the spot for a few days to make sure the wounds were improving. And while you were there, you were given a washing shave, which was and a change of clothes, which was the main thing for, well, morale. If you don't shave, morale is low, in my opinion. And once you had the washing shave, change of clothes, morale improved.
So, how was your wound at the time? Was it healing well?
It was doing very well, and I was only in there luckily about 3 days.
What about the other walking wounded? Were they all healing well, or was?
Yes, mainly in general. You always have your bike which went the wrong way, but in general they improved, and as far as I know, or as far as I remember, they all returned to the battalion.
Can I just ask one thing about the siege again? Had you received any medical supplies by air during the siege?
Yes. That was one of the priorities with water.
And what type of things were dropped?
Mainly dressings. I won't say anything particular about them, but there were always plenty of dressings dropped.
And drugs for the wounds? Drugs?
Drugs, yeah. Well, drugs and medicine. Yeah. But say the main thing was dressings.
So how long were you at Dimapur for? How long were you at Dimapur for?
Dimapur? I think it's only a matter of a couple of weeks, I think it was, when the battalion regrouped. The battalion regrouped. And we were then pushed on up to Imphal.
Did you receive a number of drafts of new men?
That's right, yes. They came from everywhere. I don't know where they came from, but there was certainly a lot of new drafts came in. I think some were straight from the UK, but others were from disbanded units. I remember some we had were gunners from the artillery, pushed straight into an infantry battalion, which was with no training, no infantry training. They were, well, to my opinion, an obstacle because they just didn't know what to do under small arms fire.
So would you say that at this stage you yourself felt very much a veteran of being in action?
Yes.
Had it changed your outlook slightly, having now felt that you've been in action against the Japanese, that you know, did you feel that you could beat them, or?
Well, having had action, you felt more secure. As I say, once you had the action, you were more secure and you didn't worry quite as much.
So would you say that you had a good idea what was going to happen when you went into action?
I wouldn't say you had a good idea what was going to happen, but what did happen, you were prepared for it.
And you say that morale improved once you'd had a shave when you got to Dimapur. How was morale throughout the battalion now?
The battalion, I don't know, because I wasn't with them. Having met to go to the dressing station. But I do know that everybody in the dressing station, morale improved once they had a good meal and wash your shave, change your clothes, and you were happy.
So once the battalion had regrouped and you were pushing to Imphal, how did that occur? What did you do?
The regrouping was just replacement drafts from elsewhere and training with the new drafts. That was it. Just carried on normal training, which to normal infantrymen who had been in the action was, quite happy with. But it was the training of the new drafts which you had to do.
And did you advance to Imphal after that?
Yes.
How did that occur?
We went by lorry from Dimapur to Imphal. We weren't in the action of Imphal. We were more of a backup. That was reasonably safe.
Did you sustain any casualties at that stage?
No. No, apart from normal sickness casualties. Actual battle casualties were zero.
Were there any actions that the unit fought at that stage?
No, not active cutting, but in battle. When they got from that battle, down through the jungle all the time then, but that didn't mean I saw a hard road or a track just through the jungle into the villages. And that was it until we came to action again. I went down the line, which I can't remember the name of places. But after we left Impel, we had a rest again. And we would have a leave. We were given 14 days leave into India. The days we wanted it. I took the 14 days and I had a very nice time at a place called Ranchi. Not Ranchi. An English woman who had an Indian husband who died, a Mrs. Letby, I remember her quite well, and she gave us a very nice time. It was general state of her place, and she gave us a very good time. Her name was happened to be reasonably local to my home. We were able to discuss the layouts of the countryside. Her place was only about 15 miles away from where I was born. And so we were classed as neighbours.
So what things did you get up to on your leave?
Bit of horse riding. Her neighbours had some horses and we were allowed to use them. They came with us, showed us the way around, walks, and general resting.
Were you feeling physically fitter now?
By the time you left there, you were very fit. I say very fit. Fit for the local conditions. I won't say you were 100% fit to what you would be in England, but you were better than living in the trenches.
And when you returned from leave, did you return to Burma?
Yes. Straight back to the Dublin, which is we left in Fell, heading towards Rangoon, not far away actually. I remember driving, the only way you were allowed to go and leave. If you take some transport back from Imphal to Dimapur, and if you could drive, then you were allowed to go on leave. I remember driving an ambulance back, a wrecked ambulance actually, loaded with wrecked motorcycles, and driving back down the road cut into the hillside, very scary. but we made the best.
Did it take a heavy? Did the conditions take a heavy toll on all the vehicles?
Yes. Yes. Especially with the, when you had Indian drivers.
Why was that?
In my opinion, they were brought into the army. As in, there you are, there's a lorry, drive it. Whether you knew how to drive or not, a different opinion. I've got a different opinion to what the army officers said.
Because you were a skilled driver, weren't you, from your job before?
Yes, yes.
Did you find it a frightening experience? Travelling with them?
It was quite an experience, yes. With the risk they took. Whereby yourself, I would say, you would stop. But with them, it was so down. If we get any good luck, if we don't, sorry.
So, when did you go on leave, roughly? What would the when would that be?
When did
you go on leave?
I went as Missouri, as in the up in the Northwest India, I think it was.
Would that have been summer 1944?
That was June. I think it's July 44. And it was definitely Missouri.
So when you returned to the battalion, they were in Burma advancing.
That's right, yes.
Southward.
They hadn't advanced at all. They were still in the same position as when we left them, which had been static for 2-3 weeks. But once everybody was back in position again, then we moved on.
What was the Japanese resistance like at this stage?
Not very heavy. We were able to advance without too much fighting. There wasn't a great deal of fighting in the jungle at all, really, after we left Imphal, because they seemed to just disappear in front of them.
Did you come across many of their casualties?
No. We did take one prisoner somewhere, but I can't remember where it was from.
Did you see him?
I saw him, yes. He was only a private, or whatever their rank was at the end. He was not a ranking officer.
What did you think about the Japanese at that stage?
Not very good. They weren't very high on my esteem at all.
Why was that?
Because we were fighting them. If it had been peacetime, I would probably have had a different opinion of them. But the wartime, while they were causing casualties and deaths, then that is not a friend of mine.
So, how were you advancing? How would you advance at this stage when you started moving south from Imphal?
Everything was on foot. You sent patrols out, searching for the enemy. Sometimes you didn't meet. Other times you did get a conflict. One time I remember just a section of the going out, and I was supposed to go with them. that particular time, I wasn't feeling too good, but something, I don't quite know what it was. So my pal, he said, oh, don't worry, he said, I'll go for you instead. My colleague. Well, after a week, they decided that the patrol would not come in back. And that was the last time I saw my colleague. Well, that should have been me. And really, I shouldn't be sitting here now.
What do you think happened to the patrol?
They were ambushed. And, well, just killed. But as far as I know, their bodies were never found. Although it danged on the Khalifa Cross, I say, I don't think his body was ever found.
What was his name?
Guildford. Very Guildford.
So at that stage, the battalion would advance and patrols would be sent out either side. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
What were you advancing down?
Well, you're advancing down to the jungle. There was no hard road. We never saw a road from, as far as I remember, from the time we left Imphal until we got to Rangoon.
And were you advancing that whole time on foot?
Yes. Yes.
How was your equipment carried?
You carried it on your back or your shoulder.
So
stretchers you carried on your shoulder. Your own personal equipment you carried on your back. And your surgical dressings were strung around your body.
How many miles would you make a day in that terrain?
We could be doing 5-6 miles a day, sometimes only a mile. But depending on what resistance you had from the enemy.
Were you getting other forms of support? Would you receive air support?
Not at that particular time. As I say, the only air support I remember was at Khalifa.